Hello, you're listening to the Walter Kane Broken Pieces podcast. This podcast is a collaborative effort between the writer, Walter Kane, producer, Alan Byrne, that's me, and the dozens of talented artists all across Ireland who volunteer their time and their voices to this project. If you enjoy the podcast, please visit 8mm network.com, where you can find original artwork for each episode, the biographies of our talented readers, as well as links to our other podcasts and projects. Today's story is Shrink. Read by Gillian Fitzgerald.
Hello, Alice. My name is Dr. Alf McCarty. I'm going to ask you a few questions. I hope that's all right.
Dr. Alf adjusts his glasses and smiles.
No problem, Dr. Alf. Fire away.
Dr. Alf takes a seat and balances his clipboard on his lap.
Great. So I'm just going to record this, if that's okay with you. It's just for internal use, of course. It won't be public. If you could introduce yourself for us a little, that'd be great. And then I'll ask you a few questions about your situation.
Okay, sounds good. So my name is Alice, and I suffer from micropsia and macropsia. Mostly micropsia, I guess. My symptoms began a few months ago, which is unusual, I think. Most people get it when they're children, according to Wikipedia, anyway. I used to be a web designer, but I guess I'm not anymore. I was, and I still am, single.
Okay, thanks. Well, I guess we can just jump right in then. So, you didn't exhibit any symptoms of the condition as a child?
Nope, none that I can remember. Other than the migraines. I've had them since I was six.
Dr. Alf looks down at his clipboard.
I see. Do you remember when you had your first episode and whether it was micropsia or macropsia?
It was a few months ago now, I guess. And the first one was macropsia. I was in the kitchen cutting up vegetables for a stir fry and listening to the radio. Suddenly, I felt like the knife began to move in my hand. And I wasn't moving it. It was like moving by itself. Next thing, the peppers and the tomatoes, the onions, like they're all inflating up like balloons. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. It must be some kind of crazy radiation or something has affected these veggies. And wow, I'm going to be in the news. And then I realised the knife was too big as well, like too big to hold. So I dropped it. And suddenly, it was like a falling sensation. The kitchen counter comes roaring up in front of me like a skyscraper growing up and fast forward. Everything, the whole kitchen was soaring up and up. And me, well, I'm falling and shrinking. Then all of a sudden, I'm down looking under the countertop, staring at pennies and gum and a receipt for groceries. They were all huge.
Did a migraine precede the incident?
Yeah, I'd had one all morning. I took a bunch of painkillers, but they never really work.
You said you were listening to music. Do you remember what song?
No, it was probably punk or metal or something. I find listening to loud music helps with the migraines, which is weird.
Dr. Alf nods and scribbles a note on the clipboard.
And how long did the effect last?
The first time, it couldn't have been more than a couple of minutes.
And what did you do during this time?
Well, I figured it had to be a dream, so I tried to wake up. Held my breath, pinched myself and all that.
I see. And what happened when the effect wore off?
Same thing, but reversed. I shot upwards, everything else went down and pop! I'm back to full size. Regular peppers, regular counter, back to normal.
And how did you feel?
Normal, fine. And the migraine was gone too. I was hungry, so I went back to cutting the vegetables.
You weren't frightened?
Not really. I hadn't been sleeping great. I figured it was just my brain tripping out from the lack of sleep and migraines. Is that weird?
No, not at all. It's not uncommon for sufferers to initially ascribe their symptoms to other factors. So, when was your first experience of micropsia?
It was about a week later. I was in the garden cutting back the bushes and I felt this little wobble. I figured it was an earthquake, so I put down the shears and looked around. The bushes, the lawn, the shears, they were all like shrinking and shrinking. So now suddenly I'm standing in my back garden looking into the upstairs window of my neighbour's place, which was like tiny now and at my eye level. I could see my own eye reflected in the glass. It was huge. I was just frozen. And how did you feel that time? That time I was a little scared, all right, because I figured, yep, I've lost my mind. Like, one hallucination you can shrug off, but two in a week? No way. I thought maybe that was it, that I'd snapped, you know, a brain tumour or something like that. I just couldn't stop thinking. Cutting the hedges. Cutting the hedges is going to be the last thing you ever do.
Dr. Alf nods.
Yes, I see. And how long did the effect last that time?
About a couple of minutes again, I think. I blinked and suddenly everything was back to normal and I'm sitting on the grass with a damp butt. Damp from the grass, I mean.
And what did you think after you'd returned to your regular size?
I thought, okay, I am definitely crazy. So I am not going to finish the hedges now because my new priority should probably be Googling my symptoms and finding a shrink. Also, I needed to change my pants. So I rushed inside, changed my pants and took my laptop outside in case I blew up again. I mean, I knew it was all in my head, but I just didn't feel safe inside the house, you know? Also, I'm kind of a neat freak, so the idea of blowing a hole in my ceiling and plaster going everywhere just sounded awful.
Dr. Alf smiles.
Yes, I think I know what you mean. So, what did you do next?
Well, I googled the symptoms and I found out all about the condition. And that was like good and bad. It was sort of good to know it was a hallucination and I was, you know, going nuts in a way that had already been recorded. But the bad part was that they said there was no real clear cure.
So then you went to see... He lifts a leaf of paper and checks his notes. Dr. Skiff.
Yeah, Dr. Skiff. I actually knew him back in school. We called him Skiffy. Anyway, I go to see Skiffy. Dr. Skiff. And after all the usual, oh, how is your brother? Wow, time flies stuff. I tell him I've got micropsia and macropsia. At first, he didn't seem to register what I meant. But then it like... clicked and he looked kind of excited. I guess he doesn't get so much of the real crazy stuff. So he asked me a load of questions and then he gave me a prescription for some Abilify and told me to take it easy. And that was it.
And how did the Abilify work for you?
Well, for a few weeks it worked fine. No more incidents. I wasn't big on the side effects though. No pun intended. Everything stayed normal sized, but I felt like there was a weird grease all over everything. You know, like Vaseline on a camera lens or something.
Yes, I understand. It's not uncommon to have some side effects such as drowsiness or changes in vision. Did you stay on the medication?
Yeah, I sure did. I mean, I didn't like the feeling, but it was better than the alternative, right?
And when was the next incident?
I was on my bike cycling down to the supermarket and I got the feeling. I mean, I hadn't realised before then, but there was a feeling that comes on before it happens and I developed a feel for it by then, I guess. So I knew it was about to happen and I pulled over and I start to get off the bike and I can feel my feet swelling up and whoosh, taller than before this time. I felt lankier too, but maybe that's just another weird side effect because I sort of looked right. Like, proportionately, I think.
So, this time there were people around.
Oh, for sure, yeah. So I'm standing there in the middle of the street. I mean, I'm massive now. I'm half on the pavement and half on the road. So people are walking along around the backs of my shoes. And cars are indicating around the front of them. And I'm like, wow. Okay, I must be really, really losing it now because these people are moving around me, but they're like totally unfazed by the fact that I am gigantic. It just didn't make sense to me, you know?
Dr. Alf nods reassuringly.
Of course. It must have been very disconcerting.
Sure was, Dr. Alf.
I completely understand why you're confused at the time, but it is not unusual for sufferers of micropsia and macropsia to see the world distort around them along with their perception of their own body. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I sort of thought that afterwards, but at the time I was freaking out a bit. I just wanted to be a giant or an ant, or be crazy. Not both, you know?
Plus, it felt so real.
Yes, I can imagine.
How long did the symptoms last that time?
I stood there for about 15 minutes. After the initial few minutes of panic, I started to really look around. Like when you're in a dream, when you realise it's a dream but it doesn't end, and you start to like really look around. I was checking out the view, watching the ant people. I was like in an airplane. I didn't move though. I mean, I didn't want to squish someone, even if it was only in my head. Anyway, just about when I started to wonder if it was ever going to end, boom! Suddenly, I'm standing next to my bike, back to normal size again.
And what did you do then?
I went to the shops. I figured it was safe enough, seeing as there had been a big gap between the incidents before.
I must say, you dealt with the situation very logically, Alice.
Thanks, Doc, I suppose. I guess I was still very with it for someone who thought they were going completely bananas.
Alice laughs again. Dr. Alf can't help but chuckle a little as well.
What did you do next?
Well, I was half panicked and half excited, I suppose. I called my friend Anna. I told her I'd been feeling sick and I asked her to come over. I said I'd been having fits and that I needed someone I trusted to watch me and report back what was happening because I couldn't remember. I figured that was a better move than telling her, hey, guess what? Someone just put a gypsy curse on me or something. She came right over.
And that's when the two of you went for a walk in Queen's Park.
Yeah, she said fresh air might be good. I was kind of dancing around the issue and she was trying to get me to open up. Anyway, as it turns out, an explanation wasn't really necessary.
And that's when you had your final incident.
Yeah, that's how we got here, Dr. Alf.
Can you just explain again, in your own words, the final episode?
Sure. So we're walking along. It was a nice day. I was thinking about how to tell her without her thinking I was nuts. And then I get that Friday feeling and kaboom.
I am giant Alice once again.
Anna freaked out, as you can imagine. She ran off and I guess she called the cops or whoever. I don't blame her. I have to say I was kind of relieved to see her run off. I mean, it was the last bit of proof, you know, that this was real. That I was really a giant. The cops were really nice. They were like little Lego guys with their little megaphones. When they walked me down here, I felt kind of like a celebrity.
Yes, I think everyone handled things very well. Especially you, Alice. I must say, I think your attitude has been remarkable, given the circumstances.
Thanks, Dr. Alf. Anyway, that was the last incident and I've been this way ever since.
I don't mean to be rude, Dr. Alf, but I'm getting a little hungry. Can we break for lunch? Of course, Alice. I'll call the crew. Thank you again for your patience through all of this. We really are working on trying to make things here more comfortable for you, but as you can imagine, colossal-sized furniture is slightly hard to come by.
Dr. Alf, that's gas.
Eight Millimeter Network podcasts are 100% DIY and 100% self-funded. Word of mouth is the way that we survive. If you enjoy what we do, we graciously ask that you share us on your social media, like the Facebook page, or write us a review on iTunes. You can find links to do all of these things, as well as original artwork, reader biographies, show notes, and more on our website, 8mm network.com. We really appreciate your support.